So today I will be continuing on our fasting series. So Pastor Sam, last week, he shared on fasting. The title of his message was Fasting 101. And it was kind of an intro to fasting. So he shared about, you know, what is fasting, the different types of fast. You know, there's the normal fast, absolute fast, the partial fast. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out, I encourage you to go online and just listen to it, and it will give you a good foundation and introduction to fasting. But part of his message, he talked about when he was on a cafe flight, and he watched this documentary by BBC that was called Eat, Fast, and Live Longer. And the documentary basically concluded with the evidence that if you fast, you'll live longer. Pretty good. And but just recently, this week, I was on Facebook and I saw one of our brothers, Yen. Is he here? Okay, maybe they're on vacation. So Yen, one of our brothers, posted this recent article on fasting. And this article referenced a TED Talk that was done in just last year. And in this TED Talk, the speaker was this guy called Mark Mattson. So I'll just tell you a little bit about Mark Mattson and his credentials. So Mark Mattson, the current chief of the Laboratory of Neuroscience at the National Institute on Aging, he is also a professor of neuroscience at the Johns Hopkins University and one of the foremost researchers in the area of cellular and molecular mechanisms underlying multiple neurodegenerative disorders like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's disease. Okay, so it's an earful, but all to say he's legit, right? He's a leading scientist in the neuroscience field. And this is what he had to say. He said, challenges to your brain, whether it's intermittent fasting, vigorous exercise, is a cognitive challenge. When this happens, neural circuits are activated. Levels of neurotrophic factors increase. That promotes the growth of neurons and the formation and strengthening of synapses. You guys understand? Does anyone understand that? Okay, so maybe 0.5%. Okay. I don't understand it either. But all to say, what it's saying is, when you fast, you get smarter. That's right. Has everyone seen that movie called Limitless? It's with Bradley Cooper. It's a really cool movie. I love it. I think it's one of those movies, anytime it's on, I'll watch it. Because it's just such a fun movie. But basically, the premise of the movie is this regular Joe guy, his name, I forgot his name, but it's Bradley Cooper. And he kind of stumbles upon this special pill. And what this pill does is when you consume the pill, whereas normally we might make use of, I don't know, I'm just throwing out this number, but you might just make use of 5%. So a lot of people say we only make use of 5% of our brain, but if you take this pill, you can harness 100%. And if you watch the movie, what happens, he takes the pill and then it's like, you know, I guess special 3D effects of what's going on in the brain, and basically the brain starts like firing off like crazy, and basically he's getting smarter, and he has like photographic memory, everything. He's so focused, he can take in everything in the environment, you know, everything that he's ever experienced in his life he can draw from, basically. And there's even this one scene where he's getting chased by some bad guys and they're about to like confront each other physically, and suddenly he remembers like every Bruce Lee movie he's ever seen. It like downloads, and he just suddenly, and he can execute it as well. And then he basically uses the moves and survives. So the reason I'm mentioning this movie is in some ways, when you fast, that happens. Not to that extent, but I've experienced it myself where, you know, normally, you know, especially after the Christmas holidays, you know, lots of turkey, lots of food. If you came to a Christmas party, there's so much food. And, you know, Monday, work's going to start tomorrow. And you probably step a little later because you're just having so much, you're just enjoying the fun so much. And you get in on Monday, and it's hard, right? It's like your brain, you can't start your brain. It's like you have this fog. You can't focus on anything. So you're supposed to start the day at 9 a.m., But you get in the office, and you're just like, oh, maybe I'll talk to some people. And then eventually, all right, coffee time. Hopefully coffee will give me that focus. And if you rarely drink it, then yes. But if you're a regular drinker, it might help just a little, right? So all to say, it's hard to focus. But what I found that when you fast, your brain has this laser-like focus where normally it takes time to, you know, get your brain to start and even focus on a task. When you fast, it's just like laser-like focus. And even, you know, normally for EMP, I get up and, you know, I'm like on autopilot. My brain doesn't even know what's doing. I'm just going through the motions of, like, you know, brushing my teeth, doing my hair, getting dressed. But I found that during the fast, I mean, it's still hard to get up for in the morning. But once I'm up, my mind is so clear, right? It's like, I know what I'm doing. I'm just, my engine has gone started. So all to say, based on this, I guess, what P. Sam shared last week on the BBC documentary and even this TED Talk, so if you fast, not only will you live longer, but you also get smarter. Right. So those are pretty strong reasons to fast, but that's actually not why we fast at Solomon's Porch. So the title of my message today is The Reason We Fast. And I just have 2 points. Merry Christmas, everybody. But let me keep in mind, there's a few sub-points to the 2 points. But let's pray first. Father, Lord, we just thank you for this season where we get to celebrate you, Jesus, your birth, and that we get to celebrate with loved ones and community, God, and just enjoy such a joyful time of the year, God. But as this year and this season concludes, Lord, let us just focus, really focus on you and what's going on, God. We hunger for you. We desire you. We want to start the year well and right, God. And so today, Lord, help me. Let less of me, more of you, God. Help me to preach a prophetic message, Lord, that would just express your truth, but even more importantly, really express your heart, God. Just help us to receive and receive whatever the Holy Spirit wants us to receive today, Lord. We thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, like I said, 2 points, and the title of my message is The Reason We Fast. So, the first reason we fast is because we are fasting as a community. So, the reason you might want to fast as a community with us is because it's pleasing to God. So you might say, where are we instructed that we must, where if we fast together corporately as a church, it's pleasing to God? So if we take a step back and just observe, you know, just our life relationships in the world, you know, as a house church leader, or, you know, ministry leader, or if you're any type of leader, or even if in your job you're a manager of some type and you manage a team of people, what is the hardest thing to do? I would say the hardest thing, I mean, more than, of course, it's, you know, giving results, but the hardest thing to do is get your team to be on the same page, to get your whole team motivated, get the whole team to be on the same, have the same vision, that they would be selfless, to help each other, to encourage each other. I mean, because I talked to my wife, Janie, and she manages a team, and what she says is basically, as she's being taught and discipled by her boss and so forth, said the hardest thing is managing people, right? And basically, for all leaders, nothing would make us happier is if our team is just united, right? House church leaders, all your sheep, just, you know, aligned with the vision, hungry, right? And even if you look at just a family, right? Right now, I just have one baby girl, but I plan to have more so that she has someone to play with. I'm an only child, so I want her to experience siblings and have that closeness and someone to relate with. And even as a parent, I imagine once I have more kids, nothing would make me happier than if my kids are, you know, just on the same page, doing things together, right, and loving each other. So I imagine, you know, our Father God in heaven, as he looks down upon us, Solomon's porch, looks at his many children that he loves dearly. I think it would really please him if we all fasted together and were aligned with this thing that we're doing this season. And, you know, although it's not a commandment, like I said, it's not a commandment that says, oh, we must fast together corporately. But I believe this is very pleasing to God because God loves unity, right? And if you look at the story of Ananias and Sapphira, it's this couple, and it's during a wonderful time during the Acts church, and everyone is just so united. And they're suddenly moved with incredible generosity where everyone is just giving and giving and giving. And Ananias and Sapphira, they decide to give. And, you know, we're commanded to give tithe, give 10%, give our first fruits, 10%, right? And Ananias and Sapphira, they gave. And they probably gave, basically they sold their property. And they might have given, I don't know, but they could have given 90%. So that's pretty good, right? 90%. Tithing, but the result was they led everyone to believe that they gave 100%. And the result was God killed them. And you're like, man, that's harsh. They gave 90%, and just because they like kind of lied a little, that's death, right? So it's like, oh man, I gotta watch what I do. But you gotta look at the context here. It's more than just that they lied, but they broke the unity of what was going on, right? Everyone was is united in their giving, and they did this, you know, trickery, I guess, and suddenly the integrity and the giving was broken. So that's why the punishment was so severe, because it actually broke the unity. God hates the disunity, number one, but he loves the unity. And if you look at the Bible, there's so many verses on unity. So if you go to Philippians 2:2, you don't have to turn there, but I'll just list a few. Philippians 2:2, it says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. So unity is so important. We always pray for unity, mission trips, you know, even for church, morning prayer, always praying for unity. And of course, you know, when we're talking about unity, it doesn't just apply to fasting, right? It's all facets of church. So even recently, we had a series on sonship, and it was a pretty lengthy series. But it was important that we all get onto the same page and embrace the vision of the church to be sons to the Father, sons to the Father God in heaven, as well as being a son of the house and about submission. It was important that we get on the same page, right? And from what I've heard, like for especially house churches where the people were on the same page and united, it was incredible, right? Even for my house church, people were sharing testimonies of just being restored and there was forgiveness that happened and people just being really free because of this sonship series. Again, but many facets. But the reason I say it's important that we be united as we fast is because fasting is integral to Solomon's Porch. We do this every year. When we started Solomon's Porch, we also started with a fast, right? So this is part of the SP DNA. So if you really want to get on board and be united with the church, I do encourage you to partake in this spiritual discipline with us as we fast as a church. So why we fast as a community is it is pleasing to God, number one, but also it is beneficial to do it as a community. So just to confess, even though I'm here to share about fasting and try to, you know, convict you guys, hopefully, to do this fast with us, I really don't enjoy fasting. In fact, it's so significant that the way I look at time is through fasting lens. Here's what I mean. So, you know, like, you know, it's been a, you know, every year at Solomon's Porch, you always hear people, oh, it's been so fast. Like quick. The year has been so quick. I can't believe it's June already. You know, it feels like we just started the fast and now it's already June. And in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, that means I got to fast in 6 months. And I actually have a physical reaction. Like my heart will beat a little. I sweat a little. My stomach kind of gurgles a little. And then, you know, once it's like, then it's like a countdown, 3 months, 2 months. And now it's like in less than a week, I got to fast, right? And the reason I dread it is because it's really hard. Fasting is really, really hard. And you could say, yeah, basically I dread it. But if you do it corporately as a church, there are many benefits. Because when you're doing something really difficult, one of the greatest difficulties is you're doing it all alone. Right? When you're suffering, if you're suffering all alone, so hard. But if you do it as a church, you know other people are suffering with you, right? Number one. So you're like, okay, if they can do it, I can do it, kind of thing. And there's incredible community interactions that's happening. People are encouraging you. You know, when things get tough, people will encourage you. People who've done it before will encourage you. They'll say, hey, what you're experiencing is normal. Don't worry about it. It'll pass. It's going to get really good, right? Or they'll keep you accountable. You know, one of the things we say at SP is, to make sure we're prayerful, especially during fast, is fasting without prayer is dieting, right? And so we keep each other accountable. Hey, have you been praying? Did you pray today, right? Oh, and it's like, oh yeah, that's true. I gotta pray. And that's where house church is really good, right? You share, you get inspired, right? And even then, it's encouragement, even if you mess up, right? Sometimes we're just so hungry in that moment of weakness. Some people, like, if they in their weakness, they go big. They go big. But some of us, we just might have a spoonful. But the result is the same. You're like, man, I messed up, right? Shoot, I'm such a failure. I suck. But then you have your brothers and sisters. They'll come alongside you. It's like, hey, it's okay, man. It's not works-based, right? It's not just about what you do, but it's what's going on in your heart. So, you know, resume the fast, seek after God, you know, be hungry for God. So that's the benefit of doing it as a community. And, you know, the Navy SEALs, that's like a elite military unit. And they have this in the U.S. And they have this thing called Hell Week, which is this intense training. And I think it's a week, and they might, every day they just get 4 hours of sleep, and then it's like intense activity and training. And within this Hell Week, only 25% of the people actually pass it. So out of everyone, only 25 people pass. And what basically to pass, you just got to endure. To fail, you got to give up, right? And what they, as they studied the people who passed, they realize that passing, the people who pass, it's not based on physical attributes. It's not because they're bigger, stronger, or faster, right? And so if you go online, you can see, they kind of interview different people and ask them, oh, what made you endure this Hell Week? And I would say the majority, if not almost all of them, there was a mention of because of my team, because they're going through Hell Week, they're doing it as a team, right? And this is what one of the Navy SEALs who endured Hell Week, this is what he had to say in regards to passing. He said, there comes a point in time somewhere where everyone has that moment when they say, I've had enough. Anybody who tells you different is lying to you. But at some point in time, everyone thinks it, and that's when you rely on your teammates to give you that extra push to give you over to get you over that moment. Sometimes it may take them grabbing you and holding you down or just talking to you. If you don't have that, you will quit. I don't remember exactly the exact moment that I had this thought, probably on a long run, but I do remember thinking about my classmates and what they would think of me if I quit, and that's what got me through my moment. So I'm not obviously comparing the severity of Navy SEALs Hell Week to fasting and saying it's the same, but it's similar. Because I know for many of us who maybe we've never fasted ever, and you're thinking of fasting, and you hear about fasting, or you've never done a liquid fast before. You've done other sorts of fasting, and you're thinking about liquid fast. It does seem like an impossible task. Like, oh, I'm going to survive for 21 days just on liquid? And I mean, you don't understand. My work is so crazy. It's so stressful. I can't just survive on liquid. Well, let me say to you, yes, you can. And having this community with you, and just as how beneficial it is for something like the Navy SEALs in Hell Week, it is incredibly beneficial for you in church, in this community, where you think it's impossible, but by doing it with others, you will be able to overcome, right? And of course, you're not just doing it. You're doing it for God, first and foremost, but you do have this community to help you along, right? So that's my first point, which is the reason we're fasting is because we're doing it as a community. And the second point I have is that the reason we're fasting is that fasting is the opportunity to experience and encounter God. That's why we're fasting, because you get to encounter God. And as I shared earlier, in some ways, I really dread fasting. But, so why do I do it? Why do I do it? As much as I dread it, I have a deeper need and longing and desire for God in my life. So that's why I do it. Despite how hard it is, I need God even more. Our bullet in the bulletin, you saw the fasting slide. The byline is to give up the legitimate pleasures of the world, which this is what I dread, which is really hard, for the extreme pleasures of knowing God. For the extreme pleasures of knowing God. So let me share this experience I had on one of my first mission trips. One of my first mission trips I did was in Uzbekistan. And I went with Pastor Sam, I went with Pastor Nate, Will Kim, and Florentina. And it was one of my earlier mission trips, and it was hard. It was wonderful, but it was hard because this church was planted by Pastor Sam's parents, who are Korean. So they had crazy EMP. I think it started at 6 a.m. So we'd be up at 6 a.m. and it's in Uzbekistan. It's hot. It's dusty. It's dry, and it's just like go go go. You're interacting with the youth. You're ministering. You're praying for people. You're sharing. You're leading all these things, and. At the end of the day, you're so tired. And it's a long day. I think it's go, go, go until, I don't think we go to bed till 11. And I think there was one day where we're like so tired that this is early on and we decided to take a siesta, a little nap. And we take a nap and then we wake up and then Pastor Sam says to us, "Hey man, are you here to sleep or are you here to serve?" We're like, "Yes, sir. We're here to serve." And I know it sounds intense, and he was pretty upset at us. But he was right, right? We're here, you know, we took time off from work, and we wanted to give our all to serve. And, you know, Pastor Sam's actually mellowed a lot more than 10 years ago. I think the three daughters help. So literally, it was go, 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 go. So we didn't even that. We just offered ourselves any way possible. Any opportunity we had, we served. And then by the end of the night, it'd be, say, 11 p.m., we're all just sleeping on the floor, and as soon as our head hits the floor, we're out. We're out. It's like instant, like best sleep ever, and then instant, it's EMP time the next day. I mean, all to say, does this sound familiar with us as we are, you know, as we have more responsibilities in life, as we become parents, as you get married. Before you know it, your entire day is completely full, right? And deep down, we know that God is the only one who can sustain us, right? And even in our brains, we know, we're like, oh yeah, we need God, we need God. But the reality of the circumstances is there's no time, right? It's go, go, go. The only prayer we might have is we give thanks during lunch. Maybe it's more ritual than sincerity sometimes. Maybe it's right before we sleep. We say, Lord, thank you for this day. You're so faithful. Amen. You're out, right? So just to resume the story. So we're all passed out. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night. I don't know what time it was. And there was this ominous presence, this shadow that was hovering over me. It was Pastor Sam. So I was kind of a fright. But basically, Pastor Sam was next to me, and we were all out snoring, and he was on his knees. He had his arms raised, and he was just worshiping and seeking after God, right? And we were all at that time, me, Nate, we're in our early 20s, and P-Sam's got like 10, 15 years on us. So despite that, he's so tired and he's seeking after God. So being a good son, being a good disciple, I went back to sleep. But because I didn't really know what was going on, so I was like scared. Oh, it's Pastor Sam, went back to sleep. But as I processed it the next day, I was struck by, wow, you know, we're all equally tired. If anything, Pastor Sam's even more tired, yet he took the time to give God an opportunity to just fill him up, to experience him, to worship him, and have that relationship, right? And don't get me wrong, you know, many of us, we've experienced those crazy days where you just don't have time, right? And I don't say this to guilt anyone, but it's all good because, you know, God is faithful. We learned in EG, one of our discipleship courses, that God is always at work. Always. Even when you're not actively seeking, he's still working in your life, which is all good. But I think God wants more, right? Don't we want more? Don't we want more than just God being behind the scenes? We want God to be in the front, right? And we need to give God, just as Pastor Sam, despite being so tired, he gave God an opportunity to come and minister to him. So fasting is that opportunity, okay? And like I said, fasting is an incredible opportunity, and it's really hard as well. So I don't want anyone to go through this fast and squander the opportunity. So let me just share a bit about the motive that we need to have when we fast. So I know we all have prayers that we need answered, right? Righteous prayers, maybe some more selfish prayers. But rather than just fasting for your prayers to be answered or get those answers to questions that we need, we should fast for God. Let's fast for the source. Let's fast for a deeper relationship and intimacy so that you would know his heart and his will for your life, that his love would overwhelm you and overflow and touch others. You know, perhaps God has something planned for you that is even beyond what we can ask for, right? Oftentimes we're stressing. We say, God, God, what is your will? Should I do A or B? God, tell me. A or B, A or B, A or B. And maybe being so fixated on that, maybe God actually has a plan C for you. You know, his ways are higher than our ways. His plans are also greater. So it's beneficial to really seek rather than for the answer, to seek for the source. And if you seek the source, if you seek after God, then those answers will come. Maybe even something better will come. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to read from verse 16 and 18. And this is the same verse that actually Pastor Sam used last week. If you need a Bible, you can just raise your hand and our ushers will supply those to you. Or you can use your smart devices. Okay, so Matthew 6, verse 16 to 18. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they're fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So I want to focus on the end of verse 16. And this is what's said about fasting. He said, truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. So what's happening in this these few verses is people are fasting and they're trying to look like they're fasting. So whatever that, I guess people don't do that so much now. They're not shaving, they're not brushing their teeth, they're not washing their face, they're not combing their hair. So people go, oh, hey, what's going on? Why are you, what's going on? And they'll be like, and then basically they'll come to the conclusion that, oh, they're fasting. But the reason they're doing this to get the attention is for credit, right? So that people think, wow, that person is really holy. They're fasting, right? So the reason I'm focusing on this part, which is truly I say to you, they have their reward in full, is because they, whatever you make the fast about, that's what you're going to get. That's your reward. So in this case, these people were making it about credit. They wanted to show off. They wanted to be seen. And their reward was they were seen. Which kind of sucks if, because the fasting's so hard, right? So make sure you have the right motive for when you're fasting. And I just want to also mention this thing that can, I know none of us will say, oh, this is my motive, but this thing can creep in. And this is the issue of dealing with weight. And I think for most of us, especially new fathers, right? I've been told by somebody that I'm starting to get a dad bod. I don't think that's a compliment. But I think it's in reference to this area. So this season of fasting, inevitably, when you fast, you're going to lose weight. If you do, especially if you do the liquid fast, you're going to lose weight. You're probably going to lose between... if you do like a pretty clean liquid fast, like not smoothies, just mainly juice or broths, you'll probably lose between 15 to 20 pounds. Who could lose 15 to 20 pounds? Okay, just the humble people. but you can lose 15, 20 pounds. And I'm looking forward to losing some weight, right? I think all of us wouldn't mind losing some weight. But that's not the point, right? But it can become the point. So I want to encourage you to not check your... Don't check yourself out so much in the mirror. I mean, I've done that, And then for the first time, like, oh, I think I see some definition. It's been years, but I think I see something, right? And it's not just rolls, it's... Anyway. So all to say, don't check yourself out in the mirror. Don't like go side profile, the spots that are problem areas. Don't check those things out. Don't check the scale. I used to do that, right? It was fun. It was like seeing, it's like you don't exercise that you get this incredible progress of losing weight. And I have this thing called a Wii Fit scale, is that right? And basically it tracks your data. So you can like, afterwards, I would open the app and I see this graph and it just like plummeting down, right? And it makes me really happy. It's like, oh man, I'm losing weight. So if we take what I just said about, what you make it about, then your reward, that's the reward you will get. If you make it about your weight, then that's all you're going to get. Your reward is you'll lose some weight. And, again, fasting's so hard. So don't make it about that. So I encourage you, don't check yourself out. Don't look at the scale and just try to focus on God. So what do you want your reward to be? Your reward is God, right? So you got to make it about God. If you make it about God, your reward is God in your life. So fasting also has two components. The two components are the setup and the opportunity. So there's the setup and the opportunity. So the setup is to give up the legitimate pleasures of the world. That first part of our byline is the setup. The setup is to create a situation where you will be dissatisfied. Sounds weird, right? But that's the point. You want to get really dissatisfied. If you're not dissatisfied, you really, like for instance, you know, we've mentioned like beef fast or fish fast. You won't even notice you're fasting. The point is, you got to notice, oh man, I'm fasting. And here's what happens generally when I fast. And generally, I will do a liquid fast. And just so you know, I love food, and I've been accused and been called a foodie. I don't like to be labeled that, but I do enjoy food. And the other thing I really love, based on my personality profile, is I'm an extrovert. I just don't like being defined overall. But I do enjoy eating with people, especially lunchtime, right? And when I fast and you take that away from me, I'm really not happy. Because the reality is, we might not think of it to this degree, but when we eat, we really look forward to it, right? You know, after a long week, it's Friday, you know, and you're with all your colleagues and you endured the week, and what do you want to eat? Do you want to eat a salad? No. You want to eat something warm. You want like beef curry brisket. You want hamburger or pizza. Maybe that's just what I want. But even as a staff, like usually on Fridays, we'll go to somewhere a little nicer. We'll treat ourselves a little and we'll eat something really yummy because eating does satisfy us a lot. And when you take out that, when you take out the eating, and for me, if you take out the fellowship, I'm not happy. I get hangry. That's hungry, angry. I get impatient. I'm short. I'll even become an introvert. Oh, sorry, introverts. It's not meant to mean. But I mean, I change. Sorry. But all to say, I become antisocial better. And this is what Richard Foster had to say. He is the author of this book called Celebration of Discipline, which is one of the foremost books on fasting. And this is what he said. He said, more than any other single discipline, fasting reveals the things that control us. This is a wonderful benefit to the true disciple who longs to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We cover up what is inside us with food and other good things, but in fasting, these things surface. If pride controls us, it will be revealed almost immediately. David said, I humbled my soul with fasting. Anger, bitterness, jealousy, strife, fear, if they are within us, they will surface during fasting. At first, we will rationalize that our anger is due to our hunger. Then we know we are angry because the spirit of anger is within us. We can rejoice in this knowledge because we know that healing is available through the power of Christ. So fasting really, it's an opportunity. And I know last week, Pastor Sam shared, one of the things he shared about is when you fast, it's important that it is a God-chosen fast. That when you fast, don't just do it without thinking, but you need to pray about it. Make sure it's what God wants. And I think part of it is to counter people doing it, doing whatever is most convenient. So it's more of the convenience factor, right? Like, let me just do the minimum rather than do what you're called to do. So it's important to seek God and just make sure your heart is doing it for the right reasons. But let me ask you a question. I know this seems counter to what Pastor Sam said about doing a God-chosen fast. What would you like to fast? Right? Because when Jesus, whenever he asks disciples or he encounters people, he always asks them, what do you want? He knows what they want, right? He sees people who are blind and they're crying out to Jesus. And And he knows they're blind. He knows their needs. But yet he asks them, what do you want? Right? And I think part of the reason is, well, first, he wants to have a relationship with you. But second, it's sometimes so we know what we want in our heart as well. So what do you want? What do you want to fast, right? What would you like to fast? How desperate are you for God? What satisfies you the most, and what are you willing to give up? Right? And once you come to that answer, I think that's when you can also afterwards submit it to God and say, God, you know, I'm so hungry for you. I'm so desperate for you in my life. I can't endure the circumstances I am in, day in, day out. Same thing over and over again. I need you, Lord. That's why I think I'm going to do the liquid fast. And I think part of that confession will be, if it's a sincere confession, that's going to be pleasing to God. And God's going to say, you know, great. I'm proud of you, son. Do that fast, right? So it's important. I think it's important to also know, what is it that you want from this fast as well? And how desperate are you? So the second part I shared earlier is that there's two parts to the fasting. It's the setup and the opportunity. So the opportunity is the second part of our tag or byline, and it is to know the extreme pleasures of knowing God. So when you have this setup, you know, I talked about the setup is basically to become incredibly dissatisfied, right? You're unhappy, you're bitter, you're angry. Right, and when that happens, that is your opportunity. That is the opportunity. But what are you going to do when the opportunity presents itself? Are you going to watch a movie? Are you going to binge watch entire TV, all the season series of 24? Right? Because if you do that, like before you know it, you know you're not feeling well. 24 is on, and then it's time to sleep. Another day done, right? You're going to start reading novels. Are you going to read Harry Potter again, right? Are you going to start reading like crazy? Are you going to go on YouTube, Facebook? So what are you going to do? What will you do during that time of incredible dissatisfaction? Are you going to fill it with other things to satisfy you besides, you know, whatever you're fasting, or will you seek after God? That is the opportunity, right? So just to share, for my fast, I will do a liquid fast, which is, I try to do pretty clear liquids. I do broth and basically juices, so nothing really blended. And I also do the media fast, so no media for me. I don't read, well, I read Bible, obviously, but I don't read, like, novels. I don't watch YouTube. I don't go on Facebook. I don't watch movies. And the reason is I know my vice. Through my fast, I know what I will do. Usually, I'm so bored because, you know, you're not eating. So that 1 or 2 hours you usually have that you're interacting with people and eating, it's free. And I feel so bored. So my normal vice is I'll watch a movie. Do you want to watch a movie? You know, do you want to, or I'll just do stuff to pass the time. But I know if I fast those two things, I have no choice but to seek after God. I know it sounds ridiculous, but really, if you take out those things, what will you do? I mean, of course, you have each of us have different interests, right? But I just want to submit to you, if you don't know what to fast, and you're hungry, and you want more of God in your life, do the liquid and media fast. Pray about it. I just submit that to you. So, again, it's so important that in this opportunity that's created through that dissatisfaction, you fill it with God. You fill it with prayer. You seek after God. Again, fasting without prayer is dieting. Fasting without prayer. It's just so important to pray. So I encourage everyone, come to EMP. Actually, in some ways, even coming to EMP could be a sort of fast because you're fasting the sleep that you enjoy in the morning. And starting the fast with EMP every day is so good. It puts you in the right mindset. And for me, actually, what I enjoy perhaps the most is coming in every day to do lunchtime prayer. And it takes discipline. Because at the beginning, you're so hungry, you're so dissatisfied, and it can be more of a distraction. But as you endure and focus, it's suddenly something clicks and you're just fellowshipping and abiding in God. It's amazing. Amazing. So come, you know, don't wait until the end of the day when you're so tired and then you do it. Make sure, because I know not all of us can come because some people start work really early or you just can't leave your desk. Make sure to set time aside to pray. And especially in those moments of weakness, which could come at any time, right, where you're so dissatisfied, make sure to seek after God. Don't watch a movie. Don't start surfing, right? Seek after God. So if I could get the worship team to come up. I'm going to finish with this just story, a testimony of mine regarding fasting. And this is about the nutty professor. The nutty professor. So the nutty professor, FYI, it's not a former professor, I know. But the nutty professor, it's a drink. It's a drink that they serve at this smoothie shop called Mix. And what makes up this drink is peanut butter, banana, I think it's got some yogurt in it, and some ice and milk, and they just blend it up. And it's amazing. It's got everything you need. It's filling, it's got protein, it gives you energy, and it just, for me, I love peanut butter. I love Reese's Pieces. So the peanut butter is so satisfying. So that's the nutty professor. And I think this was during my first fast, perhaps my first or second fast. And I just recall midway into the fast, I was just so hungry. So hungry. I recall I was lying in bed, like fetal position, sideways. And it felt like my stomach was like flipped inside out. It was just like clenching, so hungry. And it was late. I think it was like 10 p.m. And if you know me, I'm such a homebody. Once I get home, I put on my basketball shorts. I'm not leaving. Not leaving. I'm ordering in. And but it was 10 p.m., but I was just so hungry. I was so hungry. And so I got dressed, got out of bed. It was freezing outside because it's like mid-Jan. And I walked down. I used to live on Kane Road in Mid-Levels, and I walked down to Hollywood Road where there used to be a Mix there. Right now it's Paisanos, but formerly it was a Mix. And I remember just walking down, and I'm like, and it was consuming me, this nutty professor. And I was just full of anticipation. You know, I get there, I order one nutty professor, whatever, like grande, the biggest size. And I remember like, it's probably kind of creepy, but I remember like they were making, I was just like staring at them. It was like, and finally they're done with it. And I'm like, you know, opening that, when you're so thirsty, opening that straw is so difficult. I open that straw, I jam it in, and I'm like, I just remember this sensation of like release and just going, oh, so satisfied. So good, nutty professor. And in that moment of incredible satisfaction with the nutty professor, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and made me realize in this moment where I was so desperate and so dissatisfied with my circumstances, rather than seek after God and cry out to God, I want you, I went to the nutty professor. Nutty professor was what ended up satisfying me. And so, of course, initially, I think I might have finished it first, and then I went home. And the reason I still finished it was because, you know, I felt really guilty about what happened, right? I was like, oh, I can't believe, you know, basically I idolized this nutty professor. And I went home, and God is so good. I went home and just seeked after God and just confessed the truth. And the truth was, I wasn't seeking after God. The truth was, you know, in my weakness, it wasn't, I was basically in this in the fast, I was kind of going through the motions. And in the end, it was the nutty professor that was what sustained me through this fast. It made me be able to endure it, right? So I confessed it, and God was good. He came, and I experienced God. And after that, the fast was amazing. You know why? Because, you know, I had many times of weakness. But now, rather than going to the nutty professor, I went to God. And when I went to God, God would satisfy me. I would cry out to God, God, I'm so hungry. And yes, in my weakness, I want to watch a movie. I want to, you know, I want to get another nutty professor, but I want you more. And then God would come. And I think for us, part of the dissatisfaction we have in life is we don't experience God enough, right? And part of it has to do with the busyness of our lives. There's just no opportunity to really experience God. It's just go, go, go. I'm not even talking about just, you know, corporate life work, but I'm talking about even in ministry. It's go, go, go. You're serving, you're giving. Sometimes you don't even really know that you're experiencing God, right? And that's the opportunity of the fast. There's going to be so many circumstances and situations where you're going to be dissatisfied. It's an incredible setup that will happen. And there's so many opportunities where you can experience God during this fast. So as we worship, as the worship team leads us, let me just finish with this. This is something that Albert Einstein said, or credited with saying. He said, "The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results." You know, I think it's time, church, that we try something different, right? We've really, you know, relied on our own strength. We're going about life, go, 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 go. And the results are the same, right? We're stressed. We're dissatisfied. We're not maybe really unhappy, but I wouldn't say we're really satisfied and fulfilled either. It's time to do something different. So let's fast. Let's fast together. And let me just ask you, what do you have to lose if you join this fast? So worst case scenario where God doesn't show up, worst case scenario is you live longer and you get smarter. That's the worst case scenario. But the best case scenario is that, but even better, is you experience God. Perfect love casts out fear. And when you experience God and you're abiding in God, your fears are, there's no fear. You're walking with confidence. You're walking in selflessness. You're walking in love. Right? And even, you know, when people are being unjust, even if your boss is screaming at you and saying, oh, it's all your fault and you're stupid and this and that, it doesn't bother you because you're so tight with God and God is in your life that what the words that unjust person is speaking don't affect you because that person doesn't define you. God is who defines you. So again, as we worship, let's not even focus too much on what should I fast. Because the point is not what should I fast. The point in all this is I need God, right? And because I need God so much, because I'm so desperate for Him, because I desire Him, and things aren't enough, because of that, I fast, right? So as the worship team leads, let's just cry out to God. I need you. I need you. I need you in 2016. I can't do it. I can't do it like I did in 2015. And if there's a fast that you want to do that reflects the hunger you have for Him, you know, let that cry out to God as well. And see what He says. See what He says. Let's rise to our feet and let's just respond as we worship. Lord, just as you are the reason for the season, God, you're also the reason that we fast, God. You're the reason, God. And Lord, we just confess to you that I can't do it. And even though those people mentioned in that Matthew verse, they did it to show that they were so great. You know, as we fast, it's a reflection of our weakness, Lord. It doesn't mean we're like superstar spiritual people. No, it means we're so weak. We can't do it, Lord, and that's why we fast. We need you, God. We desire you, Lord. We need more of you in our life, Lord. We're lost without you. We're so dissatisfied, God, and just going through the status quo is not enough. And Lord, you have, and the truth is, you have more for us, Lord. You have more, God. So Lord, would you just lead us as a church to fast together corporately, Lord, that we would do this for you, and this act would be pleasing to you as well, God. Help us, God, to really figure out what fast is to do, that our fast would be also a reflection of the desperateness we have for you, God. And just lead us to that fast. Give us peace, even though it's going to be hard, God. But let us have peace that you know, this is the right thing and it's the pleasing thing to you to do, Lord. We thank you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So, speaking of opportunities, we have the New Year's Eve service this Thursday. It's probably one of, if not my favorite services. It's a great way to start the year right, right? And yeah, please come up. If you want prayer, the well team is here. And there's refreshments outside. And have a great day.